This day, date, years and years and years and years ago, was designated because our flag was called Old Glory. This is the date. We're thrilled and we appreciate the fact that there is this emphasis. But I will say to you today, secondly, but not because it isn't first, but secondly, oh glory! Oh glory! To the God of heaven, who doeth all things well. Watch closely now, and I will read these verses once again. And it's verse 23 of Exodus 15. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he, Moses, cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. May I add this with the right attitude? Amen. It's one thing to obey, amen, but it's quite another to obey with the right attitude. Your obedience is not by force. Your obedience is by choice. On your part before the King, his name is Jesus. There's a lesson in this passage for us. The lesson, our Lord can take the bitter experiences of life and make them sweet. Don't miss this now today. This is appropriate for today. Paul told the Romans, the Old Testament records were written for your learning. Romans 15:4. He told the Corinthians that they are written for our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10:11. This book is a lamp and a light. And the instructions of this perfect book are perfect. There's nothing about them that are imperfect. So here are some guidelines. Number one, there is a purpose from God. In everything that's done, he's in charge. There is a purpose from God. Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Life is not, it's not just a, some kind of a frolic. It's a serious, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump between birth and death. No, no, no. No, this life, because of the way God does things, this life is a training period. It's a schooling. When you have trouble, look around. You're not the only one. Don't ever consider the fact that you're the only one that has difficulty. Not true. All kinds of people. One pastor said, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Amen. I agree with that. So, this training period, this schooling, I mean, when you have this kind of trouble, I mean, you're not the only one, and when you have all kinds of things. Here's what you have. You have the peace of God. You have your Bible. The heart of God. The breath of God. You have your teacher. He never drives. Now listen carefully. He only leads. But I better pay attention to his leadership. Because he, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they never make any mistake. And they're always in agreement. And so you have your teacher. Then you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One that walks with you. That lives in you. That is coming for you. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. See, what happened to God's people in the passage that we read? It was not by accident. God led them there. Again, he did not drive them. He led them. And therefore, when he led them, he had led them forth by the right way. Psalm 107:7. So Mara was God's choice. Here is a purpose and meaning. For the child of God, nothing is without purpose. Nothing is without meaning. Except sin. Don't miss that. Moses, he was leading the people of God. And Moses told God's people, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now notice, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Deuteronomy 8:2. What a difference between battle-tested veterans and green troops. God's purpose is not personal distress. He loves us too much for that. His purpose is growth and development, and the order that we might experience the wonderful grace of God in our lives on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. As our pastor, he experienced it this last week. He experienced the wonderful grace of God while in that hospital, hovering between life and death. I say hovering between life and death, but not on God's part. For he kept him. The lessons for you. The classroom for you. It's different than for me. It's different from all of us. But hear me. We're created to be victorious. Not defeatist. Victorious. That's why the songwriter wrote, there's victory in Jesus. My Savior, forever. God has a purpose. And the fact is, you and I need to understand something here. We will only continue to be the land of the free as long as we continue to be the land of the brave. Amen. They go together. Right. You can't separate them. So there's a purpose on the part of God for each one of us. But there's also a peril. Danger. And you and I need to be very, very careful so that we are not only aware of the peril, but we avoid it. So that we touch not the unclean thing. When we are told by reading, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Do you know what that means? It means that out here, the system, not the people, the system, that's the world. But you know what the problem is? Sometimes the world is not only here, but it's here. And that's why we're given the admonition, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There is a peril. I mean, there is always, it seems like there's always a tendency to react immediately when things don't seem to go the way we thought they would or the way we would like for them to. And this reaction that we seem to just jump into, hear me carefully, that's unfortunate. Because you know what it results in? Has two sounds. Murmur. Murmur. Instead of trusting God, it's murmur. That's the reaction. God's people in the passage, they griped and they complained to Moses, the leader who really became the target of their criticism. And it proves this, that man's inherited nature is lacking. It's tainted. And that's the reason that Jesus came to rescue us, because we are so full of sin and taint. And so the word murmur, being made up of those two sounds, we murmur instead of trusting the Lord, and we act like babies. Wah, wah. Huh? Yeah, wah, wah. Oh, my goodness, wah, wah. Grown people. Wah, wah. That's a murmur. Don't murmur. Mutiny. On the bounty. No. Mutiny in the bounty. Because of the grace of God, we are spoiled. We have so much on an everyday basis. We have so much. It's mutiny in the bounty, not on the bounty. And so, something happened here. In this God-given bounty on the part of the people, in the previous scene, if you look prior to what we read, you'll see Miriam leading God's people in a dynamic song service. Just like we had a dynamic song service this morning. And she was leading them. And it was filled with joy and praise, expressing themselves in music and dance. And Miriam urged the people, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea, Exodus 15 and 21. And the Red Sea had been a great victory. Now, these same people that just got through singing are murmuring. What Aaron prayed this morning, at the end of it, it should have been amen. 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 Sevenfold amen. For the glory of God and the precious way by which God has preserved our pastor.
Amen.
Now, these same people are murmuring. And Paul refers to this in a message in Acts 13, 17 and 18. He says, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt. Now notice this, when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an almighty arm He brought them out of it, and about the time of 40 years suffered, he saw their manners in the wilderness. And you talk about bad manners. They had bad manners. So often the people acted spoiled like belligerent children. Would you like to know something about the book of Acts? It's never revival. It's always vival. They didn't need re. We need re. Amen. Did you know that unbelief makes us act that way so we murmur? Did you know that? I mean, we look at the situation instead of looking to the Savior. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God never begins what he does not finish. My wife's favorite verse. You know it. Being confident of this very thing. That's her favorite verse. That he which hath begun a work in you shall continue until the day of Jesus Christ. No stoppage on the part of God. God's never in a hurry, but he's always moving. And I want him to move in my heart. Amen. Did you know that when God sends a revival, he sends a revival, first of all, to be a blessing to his people, and to straighten them out, and then that he might catch the attention of the nation. Oh, yes. If you don't believe that, read the book of Joshua. That's what God does. He wants the attention of every person. And he sends revival. And that conviction takes the baby out of us. That removes the wah-wah. That removes the murmur. See, the ship won't sink as long as the Savior's in it. It won't sink. So there is the purpose and there's the peril. But there is also a precept. The right way to handle bitter experiences. The right way is expressed in one word. You know what it is. Pray. That's the way it's handled. Pray. Pray. To get to the place where in my heart, over every situation, in all kinds of conditions, I need to remember that it doesn't matter about the circumstances. I need to pray. Pray. Amen. You ought to say amen too. So therefore, this right way. Go to God quickly. Don't wait. I mean, that's what Moses did. Notice, he didn't debate with the people. No. He went straight to God. And he committed the whole matter to God. And simply he said, this is your business, Lord. I'm just your representative. What will you do about this? This is like the pilot who seeks guidance from the controller. He can't do it on his own. You see, when you place your trust upon the one who has all the answers, it always comes out for your benefit and His glory. Always. Moses, he didn't panic. He didn't resign. He didn't give up. He knew where to go for help. And David knew where to go. He said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. God's word is filled with examples. Hannah, she had a bitter experience. She was harassed by Peninnah. And you know what? God met her heart and solved her problem. What did she do? She prayed. She went to the house of God and prayed. Hezekiah, he had an experience of bitterness. I mean, an anti-God threat by a huge army. And he said, this day is a day of trouble, of the rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth. 2 Kings 19:3. He prayed. Prayed. Daniel. It's most interesting to me. Daniel experienced a bitterness in time. He was framed. He was misquoted. He was ignored. He was threatened. What did he do? He prayed. And when Peter was in prison, the church prayed. And in Gethsemane, our Lord prayed. So Moses cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him, you remember, the Lord showed him a tree. Now that is most interesting. So what did God do with this purpose and this peril and this precept? What did God do? Oh, there was a provision. A provision. And that tree turns the bitter to sweet. That's what the passage says. So with this being so, hear me carefully now, don't miss it. There is one tree on earth that bears a fruit that is most precious, more satisfying, more complete than any other. And it is the old rugged cross. Did you get that? And its fruit is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 23:5 calls him, the Savior, the righteous branch. And Peter said that Christ bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Did you know that bitterness disappears in Jesus? Did you know that? Did you know that men like Wycliffe and Huss and Cramer, they sang God's praises while the flames scorched their bodies. Now hear me now. I don't know who's who. I cannot know another's heart. I can't even know my own. But if you're in this room today and you're bitter, there is a way to solve it. Get alone with God. Amen. That'll do it. Tell Jesus, are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. He will listen. And let me add this. And you had better listen as well. Without Jesus, there is nothing. There's nothing. There is no satisfaction without Jesus. There's no help without Jesus. There's no victory. I mean, you face the tree. You come to Jesus. And you will sense the care of God more than you've ever known. Face that tree and see that He cares for you. You cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Did you know that that tree is the turning point of history? Did you know that? And that tree brings sweetness to all who will come to Jesus and receive Him. There is a purpose. There is a peril. There is a precept. There is a provision. You see, the tree is the symbol, the emblem. The person is the Savior. Bitterness washed away thoroughly. Sweetness in its place. I want to be done with any form of bitterness. I want to be done with it. I'm going to embarrass him, but I'm sorry about it. And later, when the service is over, I'll run. You know, I love the smile of Aaron Scott. I mean it. I mean, there is a smile from that young man that is fetching. Fetching. Did you know that if a daddy smiles a lot and there's joy in the home, the kids will pick it up? Hello. And did you know, not only do the kids pick it up, but the wife is pleased. And when husband comes home and steps through the door, it's not bitterness. It's not murmuring. It's not wah-wah. It's looking at her and saying, bless the Lord, darling. I'm so glad God gave you to me. No, we rascals men, we say, I'm so glad God gave me to you. No. The Lord our God, with a purpose in life, but a peril, has given us a precept, with a provision, that we might be victorious. What do you think? Excuse me, what do you think? Well, you know what? This is a mortuary today. Great day. In the name of Jesus. How about your heart? Is it right with God? Is there a shred of bitterness in any sense of the word because of the dealings of life. Huh? I mean, I'm in King Super's store. And I'm walking down the aisle, and there is a lady coming with a basket, pushing it. And I'm over as far as I can get this way. And she's taking up quite a bit of space that she, well, in my opinion, she didn't need to, but nevertheless. And when she got up close to me, she went, woo, 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 woo. And I thought. And then I thought to myself, every fox smells his own hole first. Now, I didn't say that. But I felt like saying it. I'm glad I didn't say it, because noticing the size of some people, that would have been a mistake on my part. The fact is, are you bitter? Or are you sweet?